Job 16 and the last verse, Job 16, 22, he says, "When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return." I've thought about a little this week the brevity of life. We were at the ordination yesterday, and Brother Dean got up to do the interrogation. He was called upon and chosen to do that. Brother Dean Pharisee, and he made a statement, and he said, "I thought for sure they would call upon one of the older brethren to do this, because that's who they always get." And then he looked around and he said, "I guess they did." He was the older brethren. And that was funny in a sense. But I got to thinking about that, and I heard somebody, we've got somebody over here, and I won't name names, but it has a birthday today, and I heard a member come up to them, and they were talking about how swiftly time passes. That was this morning, and it really does. I told you the other night that I'm 47 years old, and it really, that used to seem like, when I was a kid, 47 was ancient. And then when I got 30, suddenly 40 wasn't so far away, and it wasn't as old as it used to be. And then I got to 40, and I thought, well, 40's really not old at all. And it's amazing how that happens, and your perspective changes. But I do realize today that life is so very short. And I was thinking, as Brother Tim was singing that song last night, of all the ones he does, that's probably one of my favorites. Lord, help me, Jesus, because in that it says I have wasted it. And I've thought about how many days in my life that I've just wasted away. I thought about, and I mentioned this here a few weeks ago, I don't know that kids know what an hourglass is, but it contains the sands of time. And when you turn it over, it looks like just a little trickle, and you think it's going to take forever. That's the way that life is. But sooner or later you realize, the next thing you know, that sand is half gone. And then the next thing you know, there is far more in the bottom than there is at the top. And so if I could look at my life, I realize at 47, due to my family history, I don't think there's any way I'm going to sniff 94 years old. And so by saying that, I realize that there is more sand in the bottom of my glass than there is in the top. And I have more days that are behind me than I have that's in front of me. And I want you to understand this. You might be a teenager here today. I don't know who this is for, but let me just warn you, time goes by so fast. And it waits for no man. And so before you know it, when I was a kid, it seemed like a year took a decade. And we would look forward to things, and it took forever to get here. And now I realize we're already in April, and it seems like last week was Christmas. And it happens faster and faster. And the faster time goes by, the older that you get, and the less physically that you're able to do. And you take all of that into account. And I thought about what Job said. He said, in just a few years, I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to go to that place from which I shall not return. I want you to know today, I had a thought about, are you afraid to die? And then I thought, that's not really the thought that I want to preach. I want to try to preach to you on the thought one last time. That's it. Just one last time. And I thought about the people down through the Word of God that had no idea that their last time was going to be their last time. I thought about early on in the first death that ever occurred on this earth, when Cain killed Abel. And I thought how that Adam and Eve, when they sent Abel away that day or out in the field, they had no idea that their boy would never come home again. And so they hugged him probably at some point, and they had no idea that that would be the very last time that they would ever do that. And I thought about that this week, and I thought there is going to come a time when you hug your husband or your wife or your mama or your daddy or your son or your daughter for the last time. And most times we have no idea when that last time is going to be. Sometimes, sometimes there are people on beds of sickness.
is. And you realize that their time is coming short. And in those times, I'm thankful. I thought about my brother Don Rush the other day and how I went to see him in the hospital. And everybody knew he was coming down to the last days. And he laid there without any fear. And I said, "Brother, I'm praying that grace is going to come in for you." And he looked at me and there was not a fear in his eyes. And we knew it was probably the last time on this side we had ever see one another. And so I hugged him and kissed him, I guess. And we said our goodbye. Sometimes you do understand that it is the last time. But sometimes that can take you by shock. And it can take you so unaware. And there's been twice, as you well know, in my life that death has come knocking at my door. And I felt that cold hand of death upon my shoulder. And one was a complete, both were completely out of the blue. One time when the appendix had ruptured, I had no idea. My fever was so high and my blood pressure was so low. I can remember the nurse saying, "You're dying. You're fixing to die if we don't get you into surgery right now." And even though I heard that, it never really resonated with me because my body was already that far. You see, my fever and my blood pressure had already gotten to that critical point, and though I heard it, it never registered with me. But there was another time in a helicopter, I realized that my life is about over. And I've told you that story, how that God in that hour will give dying grace to his saints. And I believe that. I've lived through that. And so one more time in that dying hour, you know what my mind went to? It went back to the moment that I got saved. That's where I went. And my friend, that was the only thing I could think of. Was if I never wake up here, I'm going to a better land. I'm going to a better place. But my mind went to my bride, and I prayed. I didn't pray for me. I prayed for my bride. I got to thinking about that yesterday. And you know what came to my heart? I think that the Lord Jesus Christ did the exact same thing in John chapter number 17. He knew that he was fixing to leave this earth, and he didn't pray for himself. He prayed for his bride. He prayed that God would take care of his bride. He said, "Father, I'm no longer going to be here, but they are, and you watch over them." So you see, in that hour, you never know when the last time is going to be the last time. And I say that to say this, don't waste any more opportunities. Don't waste any more days. There's coming a time that it will be the last time that you ever have the opportunity. There will be a last time that we're ever assembled here. We may never fully be assembled together again like we are right now. This may very well be the last time for one of us to sit in God's house. And so keeping that in mind, what he said, that I'm going to go to the ways of which I shall not return, I would first of all ask you, are you prepared for that day? Have you wasted things? If today was your last day, I thought about a man by the name of Enoch, who just the Bible said walked with God, and then God took him, and he was not. It leads me to believe that Enoch was just walking along one day, and he lifted one foot up, and before that foot came down, he was gone into eternity with God. I find the same thing that happened with a man by the name of Elijah. He knew full well his time was come, but he was literally just walking along with Elisha, and both of them walked side by side, and all of a sudden, the Bible says a chariot of fire came, and he was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind. In other words, he lifted one foot up, and before the foot ever set foot on the earth, he was gone away from here. Now, sometimes life is like that. Sometimes death is like that. And so bearing all of that in mind, I would ask you, if this is the last day, one more time is what my thought is. One more time God's allowed us to come into his house. One more time, if you felt his spirit and you felt his touch, one more time he's given you the opportunity opportunity as a child of God to tell about. I preached this week my very best to try to get you to remember. Just remember the goodness of God, how good He's been to you. One more time He's given you maybe that opportunity to tell somebody else about your experience of salvation, how that He saved your soul, how that you don't fear death or dying anymore. He's given you one more time to do that. If you're here today and you're lost and He deals with your heart, He's given you one more time, one last time He's afforded you an opportunity to do that that you need to do, to repent and believe on His Son and believe the record that God gave to His Son. One last time He's given you that opportunity to cry out from the depths of your heart. Brother Isaac said it last night, and brother, this isn't very popular and men don't believe this today, but I can show you. He said the Scripture bears it out, and I believe that with all my heart. That one last time, sometimes men have let that slip by. And the fact is that God doesn't take them from the earth, but they no longer have that opportunity. What do you mean, preacher? Surely that God wouldn't reject somebody. No, that's not what I'm saying. But the Bible does forewarn us that if we keep rejecting and keep putting off, you know what the Bible says will happen? Over the course of time, your heart will get so hardened that you might say He'll no longer deal with you. That ain't necessarily what I'm saying. But I am saying this. The Bible says that eventually God will give them over to a reprobate mind. So what does that mean today? It means if you reject and reject and reject, there's going to come one time that it's going to be the last time. And after that last time, can you still be saved? Yes. But what happens after that last time? You'll no longer desire it. You'll no longer want it. You'll no longer care. You become so cold and so indifferent that God just gives you over to a reprobate mind. His Spirit will no longer, not that He wouldn't save you if you came to Him. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying is that desire will leave you. You'll never again desire that fact that you need to be saved. One last time, God will deal with you. One last time, He's given you an opportunity. I thought about how He said, I'm going to go away and I'll never return again. Did you ever think about that? I thought about what Paul pinned down to Timothy. Paul knew he was about gone from this earth, and so he wanted to write one more epistle, one more letter. The great words of the greatest apostle of them all, probably, was the Apostle Paul. And he wrote many books of the New Testament, and it was the Gospels that told us about the resurrection and the death and the burial. But it was the Apostle Paul who God called out into Arabia, and for 3 years explained to that great apostle, I'm going to show you a mystery that even the 12 did not know. I'm going to show you, Paul, a mystery, and I want you to write down this mystery. And it's concerning God and His church. It's concerning the Lamb and His bride. It's concerning Paul is the one who opened up what the resurrection 2,000 years ago means to us today. It was the Apostle Paul who told us all about how you need to be born again. It was the Apostle Paul who told us all about the judgment of God. It was the Apostle Paul who told us about the mysteries concerning the bride and the bridegroom. It was the Apostle Paul. And out of all of those letters, he's now come down to what he realizes is the end of his life. He's not a bit scared, but he wanted to tell Timothy. He loved Timothy. He loved Timothy so very much. And so at the end of his life, you know what he said? He said, I remember Timothy. He said, when it pleased me, in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, he said, Timothy, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I've been thinking a lot about you in these last days. Isn't that sweet that in the last time I mentioned going to the hospitals? It's awful nice of God when our family members lie dying and maybe haven't been in their right mind for some time. More often than not, you know what I've seen God do? Give that person a moment of clarity, maybe half a day, maybe a whole day, and they'll begin to be their old self one more time. I believe that's a gracious gift of God that God does for you to let you talk to your loved one one last time. And so Timothy, Paul said, I've been thinking about you. Sitting in this dungeon, I've been thinking about you. And he said, Timothy, it does my heart good when I think about the young saints that was first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and I perceive to be in thee also. He said, young Timothy, I've got one more thing I want to say to you. He said, Timothy, you endure hardness as a good soldier. Paul knew he was leaving, and he often thought, what's the last thing? What's the last thing you'd want to tell those that you love? And he said, Timothy, hard times are coming for you. He said, but you need to endure them. Paul realized that once Paul died, that the war would be coming. He tried to prepare Timothy. I don't know, church, if we've done a good enough job. If this is indeed our last time, then God has given me one last time to tell you, if you never hear this man of God again, he's given me one more last time to tell you that evil is coming. Coming for the church of the living God. And you're going to have to endure it. You're going to have to put on the soldier garments. You're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. That's what Paul said. Amen. He said, Timothy, the days are coming when men shall be lovers of them own selves. They'll be covetous, boasters, proud, and disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, incontinent, and lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, who having the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, have such turn away. My friend, what Paul told Timothy, you are living in that day. And hard times are going to come. But you endure them. And then he comes down to the bitter end. The very end. And you know what he said? He said, Timothy, the time of my departure is now at hand. Out of every letter that Paul wrote, it was the only one that said that. He said, Timothy, I know I'm not getting out of this one. He said, Timothy, I know the time of my departure is at hand. But I like how he said that. He didn't say the time of my death. He had already passed from death unto life. He said, I'm just going to depart. That gives me a picture of a ship. You ever boarded a cruise ship? I have. And there's a great farewell at the departure. When they unloose that thing from the ropes that are holding it there. That's what Paul was saying. He said the bounds and the ropes that have held me here, they're fixing to unloose them. And I'm going to be just sailing away. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, but I am now ready to be offered. I don't think we get a good picture of that. I love the King James Bible, but the English language sometimes can't contain the entirety of what Paul said and the men of God said. In the Old Testament, I believe, you correct me if I'm wrong, but there were offerings unto the Lord. But there were the main offerings. And then there was a few. One of them was called a drink offering. And the drink offering, if I'm not mistaken, haven't really studied it much, but I believe the drink offering was an offering of thanks for the big sacrifice. And that's what the original Greek that Paul wrote was. He said, I am being poured out as a drink offering. I'm not the offering. I'm not the sacrifice. That is Jesus Christ. But my life is a thank offering. Thanking Him for the sacrifice. And He's given me one more time and one last time. And He said, Timothy, I'm now ready. I'm going to be poured out like a drink offering. He said, I'm ready now to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. But Paul looked back on his life and he said something that I cannot say in entirety. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And so, I hope that I've fought. I've tried to fight. I don't know how good of a fight it's been. I've took more bruises than I've probably given. I've took more punches than I've probably thrown. But as I realize that I'm getting older, I'm trying to fight harder. How I wish I'd have fought 20 years ago, like I'm trying to fight now. But he said, I've fought a good fight. And I finished my course. He understood that it was the last time, that it was the last letter. He said, Timothy, if you get the opportunity, would you do one favor for me? I love you, and I always not greatly desire to see you. He said, but I want you to bring my coat, because winter's coming. I want you to bring my cloak. But he said, I want you to bring something else. He said, I want you to bring those parchments. Well, what were they? I don't know, but in my heart I believe that they were the parchments that contained the Word of God. I think he wanted to dwell with them. He said, Timothy, don't you be ashamed of me. Don't you be ashamed of Jesus Christ or of me, his prisoner. He said, I want you to understand, Timothy, I've got to leave here. And I thought about one last time that there's going to be one last time that you, as I said, you're going to hug somebody and you might not even know it. What do you mean by that? Why do you keep pressing that? Because God keeps pressing that to me to say to you, I'm saying to you, if there is anything that you need to do and you know that you need to do it, it might be in church, it might be joining the church. We're going to open the doors again here in a minute. It might be that. I would say to you, one last time, God has given you that opportunity. One last time. And that might be the last one that you ever have. One last time God has given you. It might not be in church, but there might be a saint somewhere outside these walls that you've been meaning to call and tell them one last time how much you love them. I think sometimes God gives us that kind of lead and we have no idea why. And in a few days' time, they're gone from here. One last time. He's given you the opportunity in His house to tell everybody about what He's done for you. One last time, He's given you, sinner friend, to repent and to be saved. One last time before you're called out. Now remember what Job said. He said, I'm not only leaving. He said, I'm going somewhere and I will never return. You need to get a hold of that today. We will never return here again. Ever. Ever, we have one life. I know there are people in this world that believe in reincarnation and past lives. I don't believe in such as that. I believe God gives man one opportunity. And what man does with that one opportunity, he will be judged for by that one chance given to him, by that one opportunity given to him. David said his life is like water that's been spilt out on the ground. And once it's on the ground, you can never put it back in the bottle. That is your life. And my life is halfway poured out now. Probably more than halfway. My life is probably more than halfway poured out, that bottle of water. And I realize that what's behind me, I can never gather it back up again. The opportunities that I missed, the chances that I missed, to tell people about Jesus Christ and what He's done for me, I can never go back and get them again. But He's given me one last time today to tell you about Jesus Christ and about the saving grace and the power of God. He's given me one last time to beseech you and implore you that when God deals with your heart, that you must follow Him and submit to Him and be saved. He's given me one last time to tell unto you what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. He's given you one last time. But now, friends, once that last time is gone, and once they lay you in the ground, you're going to a place that you'll never come back from. I thought about those old saints that have already left. I thought about, and I'm not trying to stir you up emotionally. That's not what I'm about to say this. But I thought about Brother Don again. I was preaching along this line a few years ago, and I can remember distinctly saying a few words, something like this, that he's given you one last time, and if you leave this earth lost and undone, there will be no more revivals, not for you. There'll be no more chances for you. There'll be no more altar calls for you. There'll be no more blood sacrifice for you. There'll be no more Bible for you. There'll be no more preaching for you. There'll be no more opportunity for you to be saved. And I heard a little faint voice. Didn't even have to look. I knew exactly who it was coming from the Amen corner. And I heard a little faint voice that said, preach it, brother, preach it. And I thought, I've tried. Brother Don, I've tried. But I thought about how he and others will never come back. But then, as sad as that makes me, to know that our brothers will never come back, you know what? There's a growing gladness inside of me. For when he crossed over, he kicked that little pain aside. Brother, he don't need it now. Brother Ronnie Holland, one of these days, I know you're getting along kind of rough from day to day. One of these days, you're going to lay that little cane aside and you're going to stroll down the streets of gold after one last time. Isn't that amazing? One last time we have together. Just one last time. One last time. You might think, I've got all kinds of time, preacher. You might do it. You might and you might not. I've come to realize through the course of my own life, at 47, there's been two times I've faced death. I don't want to take life for granted. I don't want to be like that song said. Lord, I've wasted it. And so I pray daily, like that song says, help me, Jesus, that others might see my life and might turn to you, that I might be able to help somebody. And you can look at me today. I'm riddled with imperfections. I have very high anxiety. I've been in rehab, in sort of a not a drug rehab, but a counseling rehab for a year and a half of my life was spent there. You might say, preacher, that means you're weak in the faith. You might think that. I think it proves that I'm human, and men of God go through things sometimes, and we need help just like you do. And I'm hoping that maybe somehow God can take my imperfections one last time and show you and draw you somehow by what I've said or done. And I'm not boasting of myself, it'll all be through God and of God. But I want you to understand this. There's going to be a day that it's going to be your very last. And most of us will have no idea. When I had a heart attack, I was fine. I felt so good, I went out to mow the yard. And before they got me to the hospital, I was gray. I was a corpse. I walked in there on my own accord. I barely limped in. And I was just as pale gray when the Bible talks about a pale horse. I think that's what it had in mind. Just that sickly pallor had come over me. And I walked in. And they called the helicopter and said, you better get here. And as we were flying, they said, this man's dying. How much farther is it? I know full well how I didn't realize that last time could have been the last time. You understand that? You understand the very last time could be your very last time. And when I was in the hospital on my appendix, we went out with Myrna and Freddie and Kathy and Shirley to Agave's after church. And as we were eating, my stomach got a little hurt. And I thought, well, it's got to be the food. That's what I blamed it on. Had no idea that Sunday when I preached was very nearly the last time I'd ever preach. Isn't that something? We have no idea when the last time is going to be the last time. Let me count for you today. Whatever it is that you need to do, whether it's inside this church, if you need to be saved, if you need to join the church, if you need to be baptized, if you need to move your membership from one church to this church, I have no idea. If you need to move it from this one to another one, I have no idea. But I would counsel you today, don't let a day go by. If you just need to call up your mama and your daddy and thank them for the raising that they give you, I don't know what you need to do, but you need to do it now. Because the last time might very well be the last time. And He's given us one more time today to try and serve Him. He's given us one more revival this week. One more revival. I hope it's not our last. But I'll say what Paul told Timothy. The Lord Jesus even prayed. I told you before He died, He didn't pray for Himself. He prayed for His bride. He prayed for His church. I hope today, I have no idea. I seriously doubt as much as I feel like down here, if God would take me, I very seriously doubt maybe as much as I would think down here that in heaven, I would like to come back and revisit from time to time the Fayette Missionary Baptist Church and see that she's still preaching the truth. I realize today that's probably not a reality. And so once I leave here, my work is done. And then it's upon you and the next man of God that'll stand where I stand. And I hope and pray down through the years, let this church stay strong and preach the truth of the Word of God. Though hell surrounds you and the enemy is within our gates, I pray that Lafayette will stay strong. That's what Paul told Timothy. You stay strong in the day of adversity, for I've got to leave here. But the work now falls to you. And you see, when saints of God leave, it's like Dean said, suddenly we realize that we are the elder brethren. Suddenly we realize this work is ours to pick up. And this mantle is ours to carry. And that responsibility now, though you were young, now you're not. And so that responsibility of Brother Don and of all the elders that passed out of here into eternity, that responsibility now falls to you that sit in these very pews. Their last time was their last time, and they will never return again. You think about a man laying in his deathbed. Let me tell you, friends, I've been there. I had concerns about my wife, but let me tell you this. When your time comes, you must leave. But preacher, I don't want to leave. I don't care. It doesn't matter if you want to leave. You must leave. It doesn't matter, preacher. I've not got my affairs in order. I've not got my 401k settled. I've not got my life insurance settled. I've not got my will settled. It doesn't matter in that day. You must go. But preacher, my wife is here. She's holding my hand. My kids are here. They're holding my hand. You must go. You must separate. Something will tear you away from their grip. And it'll be the cold hand of death. Yes, others might say, there was a song several years ago by Tim McGraw talking about don't take the girl. And in the last verse of that, he prayed. His wife lay dying in childbirth. And he prayed to God. And I understand the sentiment. I understand the beauty. I understand the love he had for his wife. But he made the statement, don't take her, take me instead. Some of you might dare to say that. For a loved one, let me be perfectly clear with you. There can be no proxy in that day. Your feet must set foot in that chilly water. The hands that hold on to you as the family surrounds your deathbed, one last time, you'll feel their touch. Just one last time, and then you'll be separated forever. On this earth. One last time, you'll feel their touch. One last time, you'll see a tear snake down their cheek. One last time, they're going to watch you. One last time, perhaps, if you've never told them anything, one last time, they're going to wonder, once and for all, have they been saved? As they watch you take that last breath, they'll wonder that. Have they been saved? You know, you can spare them a lot of grief. If you have been, one last time, please, Kelsey. One last time, God's given you that opportunity. There'll be no proxy in that day. There'll be no discharge in that war. From the moment you're conceived in the womb, my friend Beth is coming for you. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Sometimes he takes his time. Sometimes he gives men 3 score and 10. Sometimes he gives men 4 score and 20. Sometimes he gives men a long time. And sometimes death is patient. And sometimes death isn't patient. Sometimes he'll catch you as a teenager. Sometimes he'll catch you driving down the road in the prime of your life. But one way or another, there'll come a point you will come face to face with that enemy that is death. One last time. Can you be like Paul and say, I fought a good fight. Have I finished my course? I've done what God required of me to do. I told a friend the other day, he's a dear friend to me. He's in his 70s. And his children, at least one of them, are estranged from him. Living states away. He was good to her and she, in his eyes, abandoned him. And I don't know the whole story. I know we did everything for her financially. He set her up, paid for her education and all of that. And now she's moved off and they've not talked in years. And I told him one day, brother, it's really none of my business. But there's going to come a day you're going to regret what's going on. There's going to come a day that I know that you think there's going to come a day when it'll all work out. But it's not going to magically do that. There's going to need to be some effort involved. And if you don't put forth that effort, you're going to lay on your deathbed one day and you're going to be full of regret. I believe that. One last time. He gives us the opportunity to make things right with our family, with our friends. Have you wronged somebody one last time? Have you wronged God Himself? One last time, He gives you an opportunity. One more time. I would ask the church today, one more time, I want to have revival. Before I leave here, one more time, I want to hear your testimony. One more time. There are those that joined here before I came here, and so I've never heard your testimony. Not once. One more time, I'd like to hear you give it. There are those that have given their testimony since I've been here, and I'd say to you, if God deals with you, I'd like to hear that one more time. Just one last time. One last time He's given me this opportunity. I hope I've not squandered it today. I've tried to get you the best of my ability to realize one last time could be one last time. There will come a day, brother, I'll preach one last time. There will come a day, I'll close my book one last time. There will be a Sunday morning, and I won't have any idea what Sunday that will be. But there will be one Sunday morning that comes along through life. It was said the other day at the revival, the ordination, somebody asked the fellow, are you still preaching? He said, what kind of question is that? Of course, I'm still preaching. There's no retirement from this. There's no retirement plan. He said, I expect to preach till I can't. I expect to preach till my body gives out. But you know there is coming a Sunday morning, not too far in the distant future, what Job said, in just a few years, in just a few years, in just a few years, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to a place I will not return. I want you to understand there's going to be one last time, one Sunday morning, and I'll have no idea when it'll be, but I'll put on my tie. I'll tie her up in a Windsor knot one last time. I'll cinch it up to my neck one last time. I'll put on that jacket one last time. I'll hold my book under my arm and walk into the house of God one last time. I'll stand before you in this pulpit one last time. I'll preach the gospel one last time. I'll close the book one last time. And I'll step down from this grand pulpit one last time. Into eternity I'll go one last time. In that day, go ahead.
My heart was full way out.
That's right.
You know, I
No, no, no.
But I just need to thank
you. Amen.
Thank you for everything you've done for us. Oh, children, if you don't have it, get it out so quick when I got it. Oh, God, I'll tell you. There was a night. Parents, if your children got it the first time or my heart breaks for Tim, Teresa, and all these others that the children have been going time and time again. Because I know Titus was sick. He was sick. And Joe and I, we had no idea. But there was one night, there was trouble. There was trouble. It was just a troubling time. And church was over. And Titus, he made his way right there. He prayed, he got up, and I thought, oh, Jesus. And he went over to the house. And he prayed down. And I can remember Brother Ricky saying, Titus, the wrath of God is over. I remember that. And Titus was there. And he got up. And he said, I'm in that. Well, everybody thought that was me. I can remember Joe saying, Brother Tim, he said, preacher, I don't know about Jesus. I don't even know where he went.
That's right.
He went years back at Mountainside Church in the bathroom, and we didn't even know he was there, but I didn't think that was
right.
Me. But boy, he told about me, and I just thank the Lord for everything he's done for me. And when we can sing, could we sing a lot without an airplane?
That's right.
I don't know much,
but
one day, one of these days, I'm going to take a flight. Amen. And I don't need to have an airplane. Woo! Oh, he's something to
us. Amen.
Oh,
amen. Listen, don't you ever anybody feel bad about interrupting me. This ain't my service. You do what you need to do, and I'll do what I need to do. I'm glad, sister. I'm going to take that flight one day, too. We sing a song, sometimes I'll fly away. And you know what? I like that last verse that says, just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away. But I want you to take heed in what she said. She missed a call from her son. Let me tell you something, children. There's going to be a day, one last time, you're going to hear your mama's voice. One last time. In that day, according to the Word of God, our faith will end, but it'll end in sight. It'll end with Him. Everything that you believed for all of these years, that one whom you loved all of these years, will now be before you. But you have today, let's use one last time, one last opportunity.